Welcome to the Unpacking It podcast, where we unpack sports, faith, and life with intriguing guests from the sports and entertainment world. I'm Bryce Johnson, president of Unpacking It Ministries. Thanks so much for being with us today. We're going to jump into our conversation with Mason Plumlee in just a moment. I'm thrilled because we're a couple hours away from the Duke-UNC game. And I am a huge Duke fan. I have no problem admitting it. And I've got plenty of friends that are UNC fans, and so plenty of love to go around. But tonight, the rivalry, it's intense. It really is. I'm probably going to be watching the game with a couple Tar Heel fans, and so that's always interesting. But it's always a lot of fun to watch these two teams play. And so growing up as a Duke fan, it was always a game that you looked forward to. And you always had two games a year. So twice a year, you gear up for this. And then occasionally, you'll get that third game, like we saw last year, in the ACC tournament, which is always nice, kind of the rubber match. But I always like to see Duke win the first game because you have a longer time to sort of, you know, have fun, talk trash with your buddies, just because the final game of the year, so quickly you turn your attention toward the ACC tournament, and you can really easily kind of forget about that, unless it's an epic game or a close finish or something. So I hope the Duke does it tonight. And Mason Plumlee, one of the Plumlee brothers, it's just cool. They all went to Duke, and they all won championships. They've all spent time in the NBA. And so we'll talk to the middle brother today. Enjoy it. Stick around. I'll have one final thought after the interview. But here is Mason Plumlee on Unpacking It. Our guest today is a center and a power forward for the Denver Nuggets. He played his college basketball at Duke, where he won a national championship in 2010. He was drafted in the first round of the 2013 NBA draft by the Brooklyn Nets. He has also played for the Portland Trail Blazers. He has an older brother, Miles, and a younger brother, Marshall, and all three brothers won an NCAA championship while playing for Duke. I'm pumped to be joined by Mason Plumlee today on Unpacking It. Mason, thanks so much for being with us. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Well, we're glad to talk with you, and we'll jump into your career in a little bit, but I want to start just kind of this time of year with Duke and UNC gearing up again with their rivalry. When you look back at the rivalry during your own playing days, what are some of your favorite memories?
Man, there are a lot of great games. I would say the most dramatic was probably Austin Rivers hitting the buzzer beater in Chapel Hill.
Oh yeah.
That was a great game. I remember John Shire senior night where I think we beat him by 30 plus. That was a great night. Sometimes the dramatic wins are good, but also just the good old beatdowns are good too. So, you know, it was good overall. I really enjoyed that rivalry. And I think in the 4 years I was there, we came out on top. So that was good.
That's always a great thing. And I remember where I was watching that Austin Rivers game. That was one of the best for sure. Yeah. I didn't tell you this, but I grew up a Duke fan, so it's a real honor to talk to you and love talking Duke basketball. And so in mentioning the rivalry, did it live up to your expectations and kind of what you thought it was going to be?
It was even more than what I expected, because until you get in the environment, you don't really appreciate how loud the arena is, how yeah. how hard it is to get a ticket. Here we were players. It was hard for us to get extra tickets for friends and family. So it's one of the best rivalries in sports. And until you go and see a game in Cameron or in the Dean Dome for that, you really don't appreciate it.
No, it's one of a kind. And we're talking with Mason Plumlee right now on Unpacking It. And so you decided to stay at Duke instead of leaving early for the NBA. And so now years later and getting going with a very solid NBA career, what do you think of that decision now that you look back?
I have no regrets. I'm happy that I stayed all four. I really got a lot out of the last 2 years, my senior year especially. But, you know, it's funny. I was talking to Coach over the summer, and he made the point. He's like, you know, if Kyrie doesn't get hurt your sophomore year, he's like, you would have never spent two more years here.
Wow.
I think when Kyrie went down, I was high on all the draft boards, and, you know, it was playing with a true point guard. When Nolan Smith came in, he shot the ball a lot as a point guard.
True.
And it just wasn't the same. And he was a good player. He had a good year, but, you know, people are seeing how great Kyrie is now, but we knew back then, like, he's a special player. And but, you know, I feel fortunate that I did get to spend another 2 years there. I learned a lot. I really enjoyed the college experience, and I got the most out of it.
Well, when you see guys, and especially things have changed even more so since you were there, a lot more one and done guys at Duke. What do you say to any of those guys if they ask you about sticking around longer and the value of it? And I guess how different is it for each guy?
You know, it's so different for each guy. A lot of it, you know, not just Duke, but across college basketball, a lot of times it's not even the kid's decision. A lot of times there's so much pressure from family. You know, sometimes, you know, parents or handlers have already accepted things to where they have to leave college. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everybody's cases in particular, and, you know, what an opportunity for them to be able to go and make money and provide for people. I think that's amazing. So, you know, I was fortunate to where I had no, it was completely a personal decision. And, you know, I decided to go back, but I think every case is different. And at the end of the day, the best advice I got is, you know, you have to make the decision for yourself. So that way you have no regrets about it. I didn't feel like I was forced back to college. I didn't feel like I was forced to leave. I just made my decision and then I owned it. So that was, that's what I tell guys who ask me, is just own whatever you decide and make the most of it.
That's awesome. And a great perspective, I think, too, for fans, because many times we'll say, oh, you got to stick around, you got to stick around, or, oh, you got to go, you got to go. But for each guy, hey, you got to make that choice your own, because you're living with the outcome of it.
And people are always going to question it, right? Like, I was, you know, somebody told me I was higher on the draft board after my freshman and sophomore year than I was my senior year. Mm-hmm. And I had my best season my senior year. So there's truth to, you know, there is sacrifice to going back sometimes. And some guys go back for a second year like Blake Griffin did, and they just dominate college basketball and then use the number one pick in the draft. So,
true.
You know, you can't predict, you know, what the draft class is or where you're going to end up or, you know, a lot of that stuff. And it's not always directly related to how you play. Sometimes NBA teams, they think, well, if I can get a guy at 19, we can have him in our player development program for 3 years versus a college senior. And I think that's the one thing that did bother me a little bit, is I think the upperclassmen, that's not something that people like as like general managers and scouts.
I totally agree. And I think it's so unfortunate, because I at least as a fan, I love when a team drafts a guy who's proven. We kind of know what to expect from him. We're talking with Mason Plumlee right now on Unpacking It. He's a center and a power forward for the Denver Nuggets, and of course played his college basketball at Duke. And you mentioned talking with Coach K during the summer, and I'm just curious, just kind of day to day and ongoing, is there something that Coach K taught you or maybe even one of his sayings that you think about the most?
The one that helps me the most, he used to always say, get outside yourself.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, so sometimes in the NBA, you know, you can be so focused on your role and how you're playing or what, you know, you get inside your own head a lot. And the best way to play is when you're, you know, try to empathize with a teammate who might have a new role, or try to help somebody else get a shot, or, you know, just help the next guy, play for the next guy, and somehow in a weird way ends up helping yourself play better when you are, you know, focused on your shots, your numbers, your whatever. If you help the next person, sometimes it comes back around.
That's awesome. That's great advice for any of us in different walks of life. Well, Mason, one of the unique parts about you that I can relate to in some way is the fact that you're one of three boys and you're the middle brother. I'm actually the oldest of three boys. And so I know growing up what that dynamic was like in our own household. But what was that like for you? Just kind of the relationship with the older and the younger brother and what it was like then, and even comparing it to what it's like now.
Was a lot now than it was growing up. I think we were all trying to kill each other until we got to like high school. Yep. And then we started, you know, then we were teammates and we were pulling for each other. And then especially in college and even since in the NBA, like nothing makes me, it almost makes me feel better looking at the box score and seeing the Marshall, you know, got 10 minutes with the Milwaukee Bucks the other night.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he had a good rookie year with the Knicks. You know, Phil Jackson got let go, and then they cut Marshall soon thereafter. Well, you know, he had to go through the G League and work his way back up, and to see him in there playing well in the NBA, like, you know, that makes me happier than me going out and having, you know, 20 points. So I think it's weird how, I'm sure you probably experienced that too, but like you want to kill each other for like for a solid like 10, 12 years, and then all of a sudden you're like best friends. And it happens quick, but I'm glad it happened.
That's right. Well, and just too, what was your perspective as being the middle brother? And especially since all three of you went to Duke, I think that's very unique as well. So Miles kind of set the tone, and then you followed him to Duke, and then you had the opportunity to do the same for Marshall when he got there. So what was that like?
Yeah, I was in the best position. And, you know, because of how the years worked out, we all had 1 year together in high school, and we all had 1 year together in college. Yeah. And those were like the best years. And, but I benefit from having one. I got one on each side of it. So I spent a lot of time with Miles early in my college career. And then I spent more time with Marshall by the time I was an upperclassman. So I really enjoyed having them.
Yeah. It's a neat situation. And to think that all three went to Duke, it's very cool. And they all won a championship as well. We're talking with Mason Plumlee here on Unpacking It now with the Denver Nuggets. And you've had you know, a unique career so far, playing for a couple of teams already. And so what has that been like, just switching teams, and what are the challenges that come with that, and the excitement as well when you get to start fresh with a new franchise?
Yeah. Well, I would say the challenges are, when you look at the better teams in the league, they've had their core together for, you know, 3-4 years. You look at, you know, Toronto, you look at Golden State, even Cleveland before this season, they have a core group of guys that they've had together, and there are things within the game that you get to know your teammates' tendencies, their strengths, their weaknesses, and then you can make each other better. It's a process. Like, you even look at Oklahoma City, who's one of the most talented teams in the league. Like, it takes them a while.
Oh yeah,
to figure it out. So, and just one training camp's not going to do it. There's something about having shared game experience that really helps you grow as a unit. And I think that's one of the challenges of switching teams. But I'll tell you, the first time I switched teams was in the off season, and it was much easier to do it that way when I went from Brooklyn to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Last season, I was traded at the trade deadline to Denver, and it's a little harder to learn on the go. You know, most of the stuff in the NBA, the defense, the offense is similar, but just getting that familiarity with your teammates, you have to be a quick study. And, that's, you know, I would say the off season, an easier time to make the switch.
Yeah. And then, so you got traded last year, but then decided to re-sign with Denver. So what has it been like being in Denver from a team standpoint, but even living there? And Denver is one of my favorite places that I've visited before. What have you thought of that as well?
Oh, it's a great city. I'm enjoying it out here. I think we got a good young team, and we're playing really well right now. So if we can keep this going, we can, you know, raise our standing in the West and have a good playoff spot.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have been in some ways a surprising team this year. Very, very competitive and competing for a spot for sure. One thing I noticed in looking at your Twitter profile, last summer you went on a trip to South Africa. So what was that experience like, and what was your big takeaway?
That was a great experience. You know, we went down on a family vacation, and then we did a little volunteer work along the way. But it just, anytime you get to travel, I think it's such a privilege, and to see, you know, different cultures, see how people in other parts of the world are living, and really how fortunate we are here in the U.S. You know, things that we take for granted. It's just, to me, travel anywhere, but, you know, Africa especially, is just eye opening.
That's awesome. We're talking with Mason Plumlee right now on Unpacking It. Plays with the Denver Nuggets. And as we transition a little bit, always love to hear about our guest's faith and where you're at in your journey. And I know that faith is important to you. And so I'm curious, what was your life like before you started following Jesus?
Well, to me, I was fortunate. I had two parents that took us to church early and often, and, you know, we were going to Sunday school as kids, and, you know, I was kind of always around it, but to me, I marked the time where I started to take initiative and take it into my own hands was my senior year of college. And that was the first time where it wasn't, you know, hey guys, everybody be in the minivan by 8 o'clock. We got to be there by 8:30. And I was seeking on my own, and it had a profound impact. Playing wise, just because I'm always thinking about basketball, like I ended up having my best season at Duke, but really just, you know, I felt more at peace and like decisions in school and my personal life. And, you know, now I know whenever I get out of sorts or I'm unsure about something or you have doubt or you have, there's so much uncertainty in this career and there, you know, things don't go your way. Like there, now I know what I lean on. And, you know, I guess we always feel like we never lean enough, but, when I do have adversity, I know exactly where I'm going. And then also just being grateful, in the good times too. I think that's a big change for me that I started noticing my senior year is being more grateful instead of focusing on what's not, focusing on what is and what's good about the situations.
And you mentioned the word uncertainty, and I happened to write a devotional about it today, so it's on my mind as well. But especially being an NBA player, and like you say, you've already been traded twice, and free agency and all that sort of thing. So when you face uncertainty, what does that look like, and how does that affect your faith, and how do you, you know, kind of practically respond to those situations?
Yeah, well, I think to that point, after being traded, I think the verse that jumps out is lean not on your own understanding. You can't, you know, as players, we're assets and we're tied to a contract and we're like chess pieces. We can be moved. And I've just always told myself if I end up somewhere, it's not my doing, because I can, even this last summer, I was a restricted free agent. So I've never been in a situation where I can say, I want to go and play here and I'm going to go play here. So, you know, I believe that if I land somewhere, whether it be Brooklyn or Portland or Denver, there's something that I'm supposed to give and there's something I'm supposed to learn. And that's kind of something that I've told myself. And, you know, I don't know if I'll be in Denver, you know, to the end of my career or not. You don't know. So, there's a lot of scripture that I've taken with me, throughout this career that's helped.
Oh, that's neat. Mason Plumlee, our guest right now on Unpacking It. And just with the kind of the schedule and the lifestyle of the NBA and always on the road and traveling, what are some ways that you really try to seek the Lord, and are you a big reader, or what are some of those ways that you try to grow?
Well, the thing a lot of people don't know is because our schedule is so crazy and we have one off day a week, and it could be a travel day, it could be a Tuesday, a Thursday, you just don't know. We actually have a chapel for 15 minutes, an hour before each game. So whether you're home or on the road, there's always a chapel provided. And, you know, it's just something where you can, get a good word in, share some fellowship with other players and coaches. And it's a good thing for players, because we're all over the place. You know, we might get in to Phoenix at 3 a.m., have to play that night, fly back to Denver. Like, the schedule's so crazy. So that's a good thing to take advantage of. And they have it across all sports too. I know, like when I was in Brooklyn, our chaplain was the chaplain for the Yankees and the Giants as well.
And even as you think about whether it's been one of the chapels or something that you're studying on your own, has there been something maybe specific recently that stands out as far as something that God's teaching you, or just something that you're learning?
You know, I can tell you right now, I'm having the worst free throw shooting season of my career.
Yeah.
And to me, the challenge right now is like, it's not about the practice, because I've been, you know, I'm in the gym, I'm getting reps up, and, you know, I just really want to find, you know, comfort and peace at the free throw line to go out and execute what I do in practice, because, I don't want to, you know, beat myself up over it. To me, this is a challenge. This is a mountain, and it's something that I want to overcome. And, I believe that I can, and I think that having peace up at the free throw line is something that'll help me.
Oh man, no question. Well, Mason, love hearing your heart and just your understanding of seeking the Lord and all that. I also am encouraged to hear and see some of the kind of the projects that you're working on as well. And I watched your new video series, which you call Founder Fridays on MasonPlumlee.com. And a really cool concept. So what was the inspiration behind doing this, and what kind of stories are you hoping to share?
So I had, like, in college at Duke, I had a lot of classmates and friends who went out and they started their own companies or their own brands or whatever. And really, our millennial generation, everybody wants to work for themselves, right? So everybody has their own idea where they don't have to go and get a regular job.
I hear
so
you.
My whole idea behind the series was just to highlight people who are doing creative, interesting things, some mission-based startups. We're looking for things that have more to them than just kind of like a run-of-the-mill product or service, something that has a different angle to it. So, or somebody that's trying to be disruptive. So we just want to highlight them, share their stories, and have them share with people kind of their obstacles and their overcomings and things that they deal with as founders, because that more so than, I mean, that's just like being a player, right? Like there's a lot of uncertainty in that. You just kind of start and you don't know where it's going to lead and you get help along the way, but they face a lot of challenges. And I really have always admired the ambition of a founder. So we just wanted to highlight that.
Oh, it's very cool. MasonPlumlee.com, MasonPlumlee.com. And it's the video series they call Founder Fridays. So very, very cool. Well, Mason, man, it's great to connect with you. Really appreciate you joining us and wish you the best with the Nuggets this season. Get healthy, stay healthy, and also go Duke.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
All right. We appreciate it. There's Mason Plumlee. It's great to have a Dukie on the podcast and fun to catch up with him. I hope you enjoyed hearing a little bit about his story and all that he's up to. And Denver looking pretty good in the Western Conference. They, like I said, a surprising team. They really are. So he's contributed. He's been banged up. Hopefully he gets back out there soon. And the one thought that I wanted to kind of continue with, because I wrote about it this week, about uncertainty. And so check out unpackingit.com, read the devotional about uncertainty. And hopefully, it's just encouraging to you. But the verse that he used, I didn't use that in my devotional, but trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And I think when we get into those moments in life where things are just uncertain, we don't know what the next move is. We're praying about it. We're talking about it. We're thinking about it. And we're just wrestling with it. I really believe that God first gives us peace. He gives us clarity. And when we seek him with all of our heart, he'll help us understand what the next move is. And sometimes that move is to wait, to be patient, to push pause, not make a move. And then when it's time, if we continue to seek him and walk with him, he'll provide the clarity at the necessary time. And allow us to see where he's guiding us, what the best path, what his will is. And so uncertainty doesn't always have to be a bad thing, because most of the time, something good is around the corner. And so we can see God show up, even if it ends up being something difficult, we can see God show up in that, comfort us, guide us, direct us, and show us, what he's up to in those moments where it feels like it's like we see it as uncertainty, but God sees it as very certain, because he sees the big picture. So I think that's what's the encouraging element to that situation. So I hope that you enjoyed hearing Mason's thoughts on it. Read the devotional, unpackingit.com, if you haven't already, and enjoy the Duke-UNC game. We're a couple hours away. Of course, I'm picking Duke. This Duke team is tough, but they struggle with the teams like St. John's. But for the most part, when Duke is on, you can't stop them. So look out for Duke. It's in Chapel Hill tonight, so that's always tough. But anyway, have fun. Thanks for listening. I'm Bryce Johnson. This is the Unpacking It podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.